Thanks for tuning in to Mountain View Fellowship's weekly podcast with lead pastor Don Headley. At MVF, our mandate is pointing people to Jesus by fostering relationships. We know Jesus cared for people and placed a lot of emphasis on relationships, so we do too. We believe that we're created for relationship with God and that He gave each one of us a desire to belong. If you'd like more information about MVF, connect with us at mvfcolorado.com. Now, stay tuned for this week's message.
Today, we are continuing in this series that Mike kicked off for us last week called God is All. And this series is actually about the omni attributes of God, you know, omnipresent, omniscient, things like that. And so we're walking through that. Now, they're found in Psalm 139. So the whole series is coming out of Psalm 139. And the whole bottom line to this, Mike shared this last week, the bottom line is this, that we would increase our trust in God. Now, you know this from your earthly relationships. And if you're going to trust somebody, you have to know them. Like, you have to know their character, that they're trustworthy. Otherwise, you're not going to trust them. And it's the same with our up relationship with God. We need to remember and we need to be reminded of God's character and of His attributes. I love what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6. He talked about this spiritual warfare that we're fighting. He says that we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, not against things that we can see, but we're fighting against evil rulers, authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places, is what he said. Now, he's talking about the spiritual warfare that we're in, and he goes on in the next few verses to spell out the armor of God. He begins talking about different pieces of the armor that we're supposed to put on every day. And what I find interesting is the only offensive weapon that Paul mentions is the sword of the Spirit, which he goes on to say is the word of God. Now, you and I read that today, and we automatically go, Word of God, we just assume that that's the Bible. But think about this. He's writing that in the first century before the Bible ever was canonized. And it's interesting to me when you do a deep dive into that text, what you find out is the word that's used there for the Word of God signifies not so much the printed text of the Bible, but rather the spoken word. And what that tells me is that it's not enough to merely know theology. But we have to verbalize the promises of God. We got to speak them out loud. And that's what we're doing during this series. We're reminding ourselves of God's attributes so that we might trust Him at a deeper level. Now, last week, like I said, Pastor Mike kicked it off, and he showed us in those first six verses that God is all-knowing. Psalm 139 is this famous psalm. It's full of the attributes of God, and then they're listed there. And so here's what we're going to do today. We're going to continue starting in verse 7. So if you have your Bibles, if you'd head over, we're going to be in verses 7 through 12 today. And so grab your Bibles. I want you reading along with us if you want, or you can open up the app and go to the Bible there. It will bring up all the texts that we're going to be using this morning. I heard a story of a young boy who was spending his summer at home with his mom, and they're just hanging out, and lunchtime rolled around. They're sitting at the table. She's giving him a sandwich. They're sitting there enjoying their time together, and things get real serious, and the little boy just looks at his mom, and he asks her, "Where is God?" And she says, "Well, He's in heaven, honey." And he says, "Well, where is Jesus then?" And she says, "Well, He's in your heart." And the boy's a little confused at this point. He says, "You know what? I thought Jesus and God were the same person." And she says, "Well, yes, they are." And he says, "Well, how can that be that He's in heaven and in my heart at the same time?" And she says, "Well, sweetheart, it's hard to explain." And there's this long pause where they're both thinking about it for a little while. And finally, the little boy says, "Mom, where does the Holy Spirit live?" And she says, "Honey, I think it's time for a nap," is what she says. I think that's kind of an introduction into this idea that what we're going to talk about today is a difficult doctrine. It's the doctrine that God is all present. He's all present. Where is God is an important question. I think whether you're a seeker, you're just trying to figure out who God is and what He's all about, or maybe you're a skeptic and you're trying to look for truth, or maybe you're a guilty person and you want to run away from God, where is God at so I can go the other direction? Or maybe you're somebody who's been hurt and you're wondering, where was God when I needed Him the most? This is a critical question God being all present, I think, is so critical for us to understand. But here's the problem. It is hard for us to grasp. Now, we know that we can only be in one place at one time. That's pretty obvious. And this idea that God is everywhere at the same time can sometimes be hard to wrap our mind around. The problem is that we have nothing to compare it to. Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to cover a few of these, but I tell you what, some of these are a little bit easier for us to grasp, because if you ask the question, is God all-powerful, we can say, well, yeah, we can slightly grasp that concept because we have a little bit of power, we have a little bit of strength, and so we use that to kind of gauge that God is all-powerful. God being all-wise, again, we can kind of conceive that because we, on some level, we have some wisdom, we have some knowledge, and so that makes a little bit more sense to us. But this idea that God is all present, we have no sense for that. Like, we can't be present everywhere all at the same time. We can't even be two places at one time, even though most of us try that, right? We try it in our scheduling, and it doesn't work out so well, and so we know that that's impossible. And I think for that reason, God being all present, it can kind of confuse us. It's hard to grasp. It's mysterious to us. And yet, there's a couple of things I want you to know before we jump in the text that I think we need to set the record straight on. First one is this, is God is the only one who is all-present. That's it. And I say that because some of us, even Christians who have been following Christ for a long time, we have in our minds that somehow God is not higher than other things, like Satan, right? Somehow we put him in the same category. And I want you to know that Satan, the demons, the angels, they can only be at one place at one time. They're limited because Satan is this created being. He's limited and he's localized in the spiritual realm, just like the angels and just like the demons. Now that should bring us great comfort, especially those of you that are struggling this morning. Maybe you feel like you're in a season of oppression or you're being attacked or tempted in a lot of different ways. I want you to know that Satan, get this, Satan is not another god. Do not put him on the same level. God is the only one who is all present. One more thing before we hit the text. I think a lot of people are uncomfortable with the fact that God is all present. It's one of the reasons why we have idols. We want to contain God. We want a God that we can see and touch. We want a God that we can understand. And if we're honest, we want a God that we can control. But you can't fully understand the God of the Bible, and you definitely can't control him. In Psalm 139, David begins expressing this amazing doctrine that God is all present, starting in verse 7. This is what it says. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the furthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. Now, as pastors, as we sit down and we write these messages, I'll be honest with you, sometimes as you're studying, especially doctrine like this, it's hard not to think of you. Of some of the people in the congregation who you've had conversations with and what you're going through and what you're experiencing right now. And so as I was studying through this, I'm thinking of certain people in this congregation. I'm thinking, why is it important for us to know that God is all present? And so I'm going to run through some of these implications of this doctrine. And some of these you're going to notice might really relate to you. It's going to be something that you're going to hang on to. So find the ones that really mean something to you this morning. I want you to hang on to those. So let's start. Again, we're going to run through a lot of these today. So the first one is this. God is all present. What does that mean for us? Well, the first one is that God cannot be contained. God cannot be contained. Get this, especially in a building, right? Like, we definitely can't contain him in this facility right here. If you go to 1 Kings chapter 8, you'll read a prayer where they're committing the first temple. Like, it's this whole ceremony with the entire nation, and King Solomon gets up and he prays this amazing prayer about the first temple, which is the pinnacle of God's people in the Old Testament. Like, even the second temple wasn't even close to the first temple and its glory and everything else. And yet Solomon in his prayer says this. That is not where God's going to live. Like, this is not going to contain him. He's much bigger and greater than that temple would ever be. A building can't contain God. And I say that because sometimes, and I mean, we mean well when we say this, we call this the house of God, right? We're in the house of God. And somehow when we say that, we give the impression that this is the only place that God exists. And when we leave these doors, we can hide from God. What we do outside these doors, God's not aware of, and we get that impression. I want you to know that God cannot be contained. Like this place here could actually contain him, right? A building made of concrete and steel and metal and sheetrock made by human hands. Like, this is going to contain our God? If that's our God, he's a puny little God. God cannot be contained. God today dwells not in a facility like this, but he dwells among and in his people wherever they go. It doesn't matter. Whatever time of the day, whether it's light or dark, it doesn't matter. God dwells with them. God is all present. It also means, number two, that God cannot be localized. Now, we just celebrated the 250th anniversary of America, and I'll be the first one to tell you, as a red-blooded American, I love this country. It was founded on Christian doctrine, and it's been a Christian nation for a very, very long time, but we've gone off the rails, and we're seeking other things, and we've turned our backs on God. But even with all that, I just say this, that God is not an American, okay? Like, he created all nations, all languages, all tribes, and all tongues. And as a Christian American, I would just say this. I praise God for that. I thank God that he's not contained by one nation. Like, no one has a say over him. Like, he created all of us. We belong to him. And what's great about that, and what's interesting, is this morning we're gathering together as Christians, and we're praising his name, and we're lifting him up, and we're opening his word and studying his word. And thousands and millions of Christians all across the globe are doing the exact same thing right now. Do you realize that? All across the globe. We have brothers and sisters who look differently than we do, that are speaking different languages, that are praising God and worshiping him and declaring who he is today. And I love that, that God is all present. If you go to the Bible and you're trying to find the first place where God's presence shows up, you can't even get through the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God, right, created. They create, and the Spirit is hovering over the waters. God's presence was before time ever started. God is eternal. And because he's eternal, it means that he's infinite. It means that God cannot be restricted to any geographical location. There is no space or time that can contain him. There is no limit to God's presence. God is all present, which means that he is fully here, 100%, right here, right now, just like he is to some orphan in Bolivia, like some single mom in Croatia, some lonely son in Australia, right now, fully present, 100%. It's not like he's spread like peanut butter on a bread and we just get a little piece of him. We get all of him right here, just like they do on the other side of the globe right now. That's what it means that God is all present. Number three, God is all present. It means that God cannot be reduced to an image or a statue. This is why we're told by the second commandment that we're not supposed to make graven images. We're not supposed to have idols. And I think that's a temptation for us. Because if we're honest, we say, well, we struggle because we can't see God. And yet God is everywhere, all the time. But we can't see him, so we want to put him in something. We want something to look at and say, well, that's God. And we have this temptation to create idols. And God says, don't make those idols. Do you know why? Because you'll start to worship that instead of me. And so we're prone to that. We got to stay away from that and understand that God is here now. He is all present. Number four, God is all present means that God is present whether we believe it or not. It doesn't matter whether you believe that what I'm talking about here or not. God is present. Like, he's right here with us right now. Proverbs 15 says this, "The Lord is watching everywhere, keeping his eye on both the evil and the good." God sees everything, he knows everything, he is present for everything. Whether you believe it or not, it doesn't change the fact that God is present. Just like the air that you're breathing right now, he is right here, right now. He's all around us. Now, when I say that, I want to make sure that you understand this. I'm not teaching pantheism, right? I'm not saying, like, pantheism teaches that God is everything. God is the chair and God is the tree, and that's not what I'm teaching. The creation is not the creator. I'm just saying the creator of the creation is everywhere. He is with his creation. C.S. Lewis said it this way. He said, we may ignore, but we can nowhere evade the presence of God. The world is crowded with him. I love that. God is full everywhere at all times. Whether you believe it or not, doesn't change that fact that God is all present. God is all present means, number five, that God is present even in the worst moments of life. And some of you, I know you need to hear this today. God is there in the midst of suffering, in the midst of pain and sickness and sorrow and loss and death. God is present in all of it. The Bible also tells us that in those moments, he actually draws close to us in our pain and our suffering. Psalm 34 says it this way, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. If you're struggling today, you're going through loss or pain, and you think that God doesn't know that, you need to know that God is all present. Many of us in this room could give testimony to that. We've experienced God's powerful, his uplifting presence in the midst of unspeakable suffering. Things that we didn't think that we could make it through. And somehow we get through that and we look back on those moments and we look back with amazement and wonder and we see how God has brought us through when everything else failed. It was the presence of God that sustained us and brought us through to the other side. God is present even in the most difficult times of your life. God is present means that God is always available to us wherever we go. Doesn't matter where you go, doesn't matter what time of the day, 24/7, say, you know, 365 days a week, we always have his full attention. You don't have to make an appointment to see God. He's never too busy to hear you when you pray. He's never preoccupied with other problems. You know, I got something bigger on my plate right now. I can't deal with you, right? Can you imagine if you begin to pray and then the message that came back to you was, look, I'm sorry, God's not available right now. If you please leave your name and number, we'll have somebody else get back to you as soon as possible. Could you imagine? Like, that's never going to happen. Do you know why? Because God is all present. God is completely available to you no matter where you are, as if you were the only one praying. That's how great our God is. God is all present. Means that God is always near his people. He's always near his people. When I was growing up, I grew up in a church that we did this thing called invocation. And I know what it means. I know the heart behind it, right? But here's what happens is we would gather and we would pray and we would invite God into the service, almost like he was standing outside the church and he was just kind of waiting for the invitation. You know, okay, now that they've invited me, now I can go in, right? And that's kind of the feeling that you get. Now I know what they meant. That's not what it means. All right, it was more about our heart than it was inviting God in. But it gave the impression that God is localized, like he needs to be invited in. And can I just say this? You don't have to ask God to be with you. He is always with you. We don't have to invoke God's presence. He's already here. He's with you. No matter how high you go, no matter how low you go, no matter to the ends of the earth, he's with you always. It's not about inviting God's presence in as much as it is reminding our hearts that he's already here, that he's with us. Martin Lloyd-Jones said it this way, the fundamental thing, the most serious thing of all about God's omnipresence is that we are always in the presence of God. I love that. It kind of flips it, doesn't it? It says it doesn't matter where you go, you're just in God's presence. His presence is everywhere, so you can't get away from it. It's like what David was talking about in our text today. No matter how high, how low, no matter where I go, light, dark, it doesn't matter. I'm always in God's presence. Now, I want to do something this morning a little different. You notice on your chairs that you have a couple things. First one is a bookmark. The bookmark kind of gives you our series. You can keep that with you. And I'd actually encourage you to take a look at next week's text and maybe read up on it, study it, come in, and then we can compare notes and see if you're getting the same thing we are, all right? The other thing is a piece of cloth. I want you to grab that piece of cloth, everyone. Just grab. If you don't have one, grab one on the chair next to you. It's yours. I want you to keep it. If you don't like the pattern, just pick a different one. It's all good, right? No one will know. It's yours. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to hold it. You can see it. You can touch it. You can smell it. I had them in my dirty hamper for the last week. No, I didn't do that. You can smell it, right? The idea behind this, and I want you to take this with you today and put it somewhere. I don't care if it's in your car, at work, in your locker, at school, whatever. I want you to put it somewhere. Just as a reminder that just as you can see that, you can feel it, you can smell it, that's how real God's presence is with you. Now, I know that's a goofy illustration, but here's what I've learned. We did this years and years ago with a bunch of teenagers. And we had a young lady, she was probably in sixth or seventh grade, I think, somewhere in there, when she got her piece of cloth, right? Years later, we would get invited to her graduation party. We went to her graduation party, and at the graduation party, she grabbed my wife and I, and she said, come here, I want to show you something. And she took us into her room, and she shut the door, and behind her door, she had nailed that piece of cloth. It had been there for years. And she said, that meant everything to me. Every morning when I got up, I would look at that and realize that God is with me. That there's nowhere I could go, nothing I could ever go through in my life that God wouldn't be with me in. And so I want you to take this, and somebody already told me this morning they were already cutting it up and putting it in different places. I don't care what you do with it. My challenge is just put it somewhere so that every time you see it, I want you to remember that God is all present. We can fully rely on God. No matter how desperate our times, no matter what we're going through, no matter where we're at, we can trust him. Why? Because he's all present. Because God is all present, we can trust him. We've gone through one of those seasons over the last couple of years. I lost my mom. My wife has lost her dad. And this idea of trusting God is so critical to us. The prayer that we said with my mom just moments before she passed, we said, God, we trust you. And she agreed verbally and squeezed our hands like, that's what I want to agree with that I trust God. My father-in-law, just a couple of days before he passed, he told us, I'm not worried. I'm not worried because I trust God. Do you know why? Because they had learned through a lifetime of walking with God that they could trust him, because he promised that he would never leave them, that he would always be present with them. God is all present. Our almighty, transcendent God, the creator of the universe, the God of love, the God of grace and mercy and justice and holiness, he is always at hand. He was always present with you, always. Right on? Because God is present here this morning. Can we just join in prayer together? Would you join me? God, we thank you and praise you for this promise in Scripture that you are here, that you are present, that there's no place we could go that we could ever escape your presence, Lord. Thank you for that. Lord, forgive us for those moments when we think that you're not watching or you're not with us. And Lord, we turn and we make life about ourselves. Lord, I pray that today as we leave this place that we would understand that we're not walking out of your presence, but that you are before us. And that you will be with us in everything that we do, everywhere we go. Whether it's light or dark, it doesn't matter. And so, Lord, I pray that this week that we would sense your presence just as much as we're hanging onto this piece of cloth today. And that we would know that you are all present. And, Lord, that would cause us to trust you even more. We pray that this would make us into people that look more and more like you. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And everyone agreed and said, amen.